Oh, that was for King and Country, the song Priceless. I don't know how many of you saw that movie, but I tell you what, that movie really impacted me to know that things like that were portrayed in the movie are going on each and every day. As valuable lives, as innocent lives are being used and abused and trafficked, even right here close to home. And we're going to be talking more about that today with Jody Emerson. Jody is the Director of Public Policy and Community Relations for Fierce Freedom in the Eau Claire area. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Darla. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so good to have you back. We haven't talked to you for a while. And like I said, that movie really impacted me. Did you get a chance to see it?
I did. I was really impressed with the movie Priceless and just how that the main character's heart just changed and knowing that, you know, people are not meant to be enslaved and he needed to do something about it. And it's kind of interesting because that's how my heart changed for human trafficking. I never really knew about it until I saw a movie called Not Today almost exactly 4 years ago. And my heart was just opened to the plight of trafficking victims. And that's how I got started in this role with Fierce Freedom, actually. So it's interesting that you should mention movies because movies can take a story and just and put it into our hearts and change our hearts and our behavior so much. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think it makes it real. I mean, we can use the term human trafficking, and we know it's a problem, but it seems so impersonal, so intangible. You know, you really can't grasp it. But then when you put a human face to that, and it's like you kind of get to know that person perhaps through a movie or through hearing their story, you realize this is real and it can happen to, so many people that
Absolutely.
That can be vulnerable to that. Tell us about the problem of human trafficking here in southeast Wisconsin. What do you see happening now since perhaps the last time that we talked?
Well, you know, human trafficking throughout the world and right here in Wisconsin, it is the fastest growing crime. You know, it's not getting necessarily the headlines that the opioid epidemic are and other problems, you know, that maybe have better lobbying groups and can, you know, get the attention of lawmakers as much as some of these other problems. But it is the fastest growing crime on the planet. And the emotional toll that it takes on victims of human trafficking. You know, if you think of, you know, somebody who's under the age of 18 being a victim of human trafficking and having them forced to have sex with 6, 8, 10 different men a night, a day, and then even once they get out of that situation, how do you return to restore yourself from that violence that sexual violence that happened? How do you go on with that? You know, it's once they get out of the situation, things don't stop there. It's a lifetime of help that they need to restore themselves. So, you know, it's hard to put numbers on what human trafficking looks like in Wisconsin because when it is caught, which is infrequently, but when it is caught, sometimes it's, you know, recorded as a rape or a kidnapping or a sexual assault or child enticement or a prostitution charge. And so it's hard to get a real grasp on the numbers, but what we look at is anecdotal evidence. And when you open up the paper on a daily basis and you see, you know, a sexual assault that was, you know, maybe a runaway 15-year-old child who had gotten offered to stay with somebody that they met up with at a gas station, and they stayed with that person, and what they didn't realize is that that person was expecting sex in exchange for staying there, and then after that started farming them out to his friends, you know, that's sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
It might not have been recorded in the newspaper or in the courts like that, but that's sex trafficking because anything of value exchanged for sex is sex trafficking. So it looks different in the different areas of the state. You know, certainly down in Milwaukee, we've got parts where you can people walking up and down the street. You know, you don't get that in Rhineland or Wisconsin.
Right, right.
But there's web pages that are set up for people selling people. And once you know the signs and this, you know, what to look for, you start seeing it all over the place.
Yeah, there's an awareness campaign going on right now in this part of the country, especially along the I-94 corridor from like Illinois to north of Milwaukee, and then the circuit, you know, going over to Madison and Eau Claire and Minneapolis and the North Dakota oil fields. A lot of stops in between. There's truck stops. There's a lot of travel. There's a lot of hotels. And what are some of the signs that people need to look out for? And what should they do if they see something that seems suspicious?
Well, the first thing that we say as far as what they should do if they see something suspicious is they need to keep themselves safe. Mm. That was the one thing that kind of made me cringe about the Priceless movie we were talking about earlier, is how, mm-hmm. how that main character kind of went in and tried to be a vigilante and you know, rescue these people or whatever. And I always say personal safety is the most important. We want to leave it to the trained professionals. We want to contact law enforcement. We want to contact the state patrol, whatever the law enforcement agency is. They're the ones who are paid to put their lives on the line. So let's use the resources that we have.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, keep yourself safe.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, we need to be the eyes and ears of the police. They can't be everywhere. They can't be in every single rest stop, restaurant, hotel, whatever is going on. We need to be out aware of certain warning signs, and they look different depending on the situation that you're in. Certainly if it's somebody who's a member of your family and you know them better, changes like, you know, withdrawing from groups of friends or changing friends, getting new items, you know, all of a sudden they've got a new phone and a new purse and a new jacket, and somebody, it feels like somebody's trying to buy their love.
Mm.
You know, that's a big warning sign, because that's how these traffickers do it. They do try to buy somebody's love and get them to feel like they owe them something.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you're a traveler, you're obviously not going to tell, oh, this person looks like they've lost 20 pounds because they're depressed. Or, you know,
you've never seen them before.
Exactly. So, those are different signs when that is concerned, where that's concerned. You know, just, I think we can pick up on interactions between people. And so if somebody's being treated in a demeaning or an aggressive manner, or they maybe seem confused as far as where they are. You know, we really do this with hotels, because the inside of a Super 8 looks very similar in Eau Claire as it does in Sparta, as it does in Madison, as it does in Iowa City, whatever. You know, they all look kind of similar. And so if they're confused about where they're at, that's a big sign. If they have very few personal possessions with them, those types of things. And it's not just one thing. It's a combination of stuff. So if they're treated in a demeaning manner and there's somebody who's maybe 10 years older than them that seems like they're kind of a boyfriend type of situation, you know, we kind of add situations up. And so this is a big piece. I think we get a gut feeling, too.
Yeah.
You know when something's not quite right. Also, if they don't have control of their personal documents, if they don't have their own money, if they don't have their own, if they have to ask somebody for their cell phone, and not just in a manner of, oh, shoot, I don't have pockets on me, can you hold my cell phone for the day, but is it okay if I use my cell phone now? You know, if you overhear conversations like that, those are big red flags.
So what do you do? Say you're out at a restaurant, or you're checking into a hotel, and you hear something like that, or you pick up on something like that. What do you do?
You know, if you're in your local area and you know the law enforcement, you know, well enough to know whether they've been trained on human trafficking or not, contact them, either the non-emergency number or 911. But we also recommend that people contact the human trafficking hotline, especially if you're not very well versed on what human trafficking looks like. The human trafficking hotline number is answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's trained specialists that are on that line, and you can contact them, and you can choose to remain anonymous if you want to. You don't have to, but you can say, hey, this is the situation. I'm at this restaurant right now, and I'm overhearing this conversation, and something just doesn't feel right about it. What can I look for? What kind of things, you know, here's what I'm seeing. They might ask you a few more questions, and then what they'll do is contact law enforcement, send law enforcement out if they feel like it's worthy of investigation. So,
is there any type of information that we should try to get, like a driver's license number, a description, a picture, or is there anything that we should try to get?
You know, there's certainly the more information we can get to law enforcement to help build a case, the better it is. But again, that personal safety, you know, if you can pretend you're taking a selfie, but you're really taking a picture of somebody else, you know.
I don't do that too well, but some people can probably manage that.
Maybe you can do that if you can, you know, even notice, oh, they drove away in a red sedan or a green minivan or, you know, something like that. Any little bit of details you can give is best. But again, you know, you don't want to get so much information from them that they're suspicious or that it puts you at risk. So, you know, just as a general traveler, you're going to get less information than if you're a person who's working at the front desk of a hotel and checking somebody in. You know, then you have an opportunity to maybe make a copy of driver's license, ask for their license plate number, things like that without raising suspicion. So,
and that's a big focus for you right now, isn't it? Training up the hotel employees to know what to look for and what to do.
Absolutely. And so that started for us. It's kind of an interesting story. We have a couple hotels in downtown Eau Claire, where we're based out of, that in the last couple of years have done some massive renovations, new owners, new looks, new reputations. A couple of years ago, those were the seedy motels in town. Mm. That's where the problems were happening. And as the new owners were taking charge, we said, you know, if you want us to come in and do some training for you so that people don't mistake the old hotel with the new hotel, so you guys know what to look for, let's make it happen. And so we were planning that at the same time that we had our annual fundraiser, had mentioned it at our fundraiser, and the head of our Convention and Visitors Bureau was there, Visit Eau Claire, and she said, well, if you're going to do it with those hotels, let's do it with all the hotels. And so then we set on this path here in the Chippewa Valley of training all the hotels in the Chippewa Valley, not only what human trafficking looked like, but we also started this rating system of how aggressively hotels were trying to fight it. You know, because you can, you know, have somebody sit through an hour-long seminar or whatever, but if you haven't developed policies in your hotel,
mm-hmm.
to change the way that you're doing business, like not accepting cash, like, you know, making sure that, you know, just various things like that. Having them sit down in a training session doesn't mean anything. And so we developed, there's probably 10 to 12 different points that people, I'll just say hoops that they need to jump through to get certified as a Be Aware hotel.
Mm.
So we were planning on starting that in the Chippewa Valley and then maybe later this fall, once we got it up and running real well, taking it to other parts of the state. But, you know, as we all know, as soon as we make plans for ourselves, somebody from up above steps in and says, no, we've made more plans for you. And I feel like that's really what has happened with the Be Aware campaign, is we started having other areas contact us and say, you have a hotel training program, can you come in and do this? And mm-hmm. so next week, we're actually going to Washington County and training Washington County hotels, because they've got the U.S. Open coming.
Oh,
and they're
wow.
expecting 40,000 people a day coming for the U.S. Open. And with 40,000 people a day, we know that there's going to be some sex trafficking that's happening there.
Mm.
And so we're training their hotels next week on the Be Aware campaign and how to watch out for it. And then we're also being part of this I-94 campaign that you mentioned earlier, too. So, you know, what we had visioned of, you know, maybe starting in the fall with the new school year, tackling other parts of the state, I think God has a different vision for us. And said, you know what? You guys have a good program. We're taking it on the road now. So
He has a way of doing that. We came here to start one little radio station, and before that even went on the air, he grew it already to where we're covering a huge portion of Southwest Wisconsin. So he's always a step ahead of us. You
exactly.
know, and his ways are so much bigger than our ways. But isn't that amazing? It's got to be so encouraging to you to know that people want this information. They want to do something about this huge problem and to help the victims of human trafficking. So I just applaud your efforts there. I know that you've been working at this for quite a while now and bringing awareness and educating people as to the problem and what they can do. And there's also some like transitional houses for the victims of human trafficking that are starting to open up in our area, aren't there?
There are. There's a couple of different places and movement for more, too. And there's some changes that are happening on the state level with Department of Children and Families, where any prostitution case, Department of Children and Families now has to investigate it to make sure that it's not child abuse. We've changed the law to call prostitution child abuse. And so anywhere in the state, in any of our 72 counties, children who have been prostituted out by somebody have access to services through the Department of Children and Families. And I think it's wonderful. It opens it up so that there's emergency shelters, there's long-term shelters and things like that. So it's amazing to see that the work that's happening with fighting trafficking on such a holistic level. It's just absolutely wonderful.
Well, Jody, I know your organization is busy. You guys have a lot going on, but you are available to speak to youth groups and community organizations and churches, that sort of thing, aren't you?
Absolutely. We will go anywhere. It really is our mission to raise awareness and educate the public that human trafficking is happening right in our hometowns. That's our tagline of our organization. We're fighting slavery in our hometowns. So whether your hometown is a large town of Milwaukee or Chicago or, you know, St. Paul, or it's a small town of 200, we're here to help make sure that we're lifting the lid and people are seeing what's happening. We'd like to think that human trafficking and evil things like that are happening in other parts of the world and other parts of the country, but they are happening right under our noses, and unless we're looking for it, it's just going to keep on happening. So,
Well, I thank you for the work that you're doing and bringing awareness, and hopefully this will help save many, many victims of human trafficking and help to stamp out this horrible, horrible problem. I can't imagine, I don't know, the mentality, I guess it's greed, I don't know what it is, the evil that drives somebody to use and abuse an innocent person like that. So
absolutely. And I do have to make one little shameless plug that as of about June 1st or 2nd, our website will be up where people can actually log onto the website, beawarecampaign.org, and find out what hotels have been trained to spot human trafficking. And, you know, we'd love to get them business for the work that they're doing to fight this terrible crime happening on their property. So look for that coming up as of June 1st or 2nd. We're hoping to go live with that website. So,
oh, that sounds great. And you said that's the BeAwareCampaign.org?
BeAwareCampaign.org.
Okay. Well, Jody, we have your Fierce Freedom information on our ministry partner page, and we will add the BeAwareCampaign.org website to that as well as soon as it's active. And anything that we can do to help, please let us know.
Thank you so much for your time, Darla. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jody. Thanks for sharing with us today and for the work that you're doing. And again, if you would like to get in touch with Jody and the Fierce Freedom Ministry up in the Eau Claire area, you can find all of that contact information on our ministry partner page. Just look for Fierce Freedom and you can get in touch directly with them. And again, they're there to help to educate and to bring awareness to the plight of human trafficking in Southeast Wisconsin and beyond.